Hi everyone, this is Alistair Willis, Music Director of the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. This weekend, we have our fourth in-person Jack M. Champagne Masterworks concert back at the Morris Performing Arts Center. We'll be pairing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony with Hollywood composer George S. Clinton's The Rose of Sonora, which is a violin concerto in five scenes. We're excited that we finally get to continue our Beethoven symphony cycle. Beethoven's Fifth has probably the most recognizable openings of any symphony. Doesn't that just grab your attention? And now that Beethoven has it, he takes us on a journey that no symphony by 1808 had ever taken listeners on. He proceeds to use that motif in almost every measure of the first movement. And that's only the beginning. We hear that motif again in the next three movements. This connects them and unifies the experience for us. What started with struggle ends in victory and rejoicing. Beethoven saves five instruments for the last movement. A piccolo, contrabassoon, and three trombones sit in silence for the first 25 minutes. Piccolos were at the time largely associated with outdoor military music. Trombones were associated with opera and church music. And for me, it's as Beethoven is now saying, I'm taking my music out of the performance halls and onto the streets. This is for everyone and it's happening now. Well, in 1808, Napoleon's troops occupied Vienna, where Beethoven lived. It was a revolutionary time, but I can't help thinking that perhaps this symphony reflects Beethoven's own personal revolution, an attempt, if you will, to compose himself out of his increasing deafness. Was he thinking, I will overcome, I will get my hearing back, and music will save me? By the end of the symphony, we feel so much hope that all is right in the world, in his world. For me, there's a connection to our situation today. Our world has struggled since the emergence of COVID-19. What have our individual revolutions been in the last 16 months? Haven't we seen and experienced so many examples of the rallying of the human spirit? Do we now hear a classic such as Beethoven's Fifth afresh, with more relevance and depth because of our own struggles? I know that I do. Some areas of the world are still stuck in the despair of the first movement. What with the declining number of cases and deaths and the availability of vaccines, perhaps others are somewhere in the more hopeful second and third movements, anticipating the triumph and victory of the fourth movement. I've certainly felt the pandemic's initial darkness become lighter. And this music is speaking as directly to me now as it ever has done, and making me realize how a composer like Beethoven is still extraordinarily relevant today. Many of you know that we've been pairing each Beethoven symphony with music by living composers. We are thrilled to present a violin concerto by Hollywood composer George S. Clinton. And we were supposed to perform it last season. And to that end, our soloist, Holly Mulcahy, and I recorded a short podcast over a year ago. Here it is.
Okay, this started back in the summer of 2018, I think, where I spend my summers in Wyoming. And many times I drive out to Wyoming, and I've got a mixtape, essentially, of what I listen to, which is all Westerns. Hmm. I secretly have loved the music from Westerns. And so you get out there in the wide open plains, and then you see this mountain range just come up. It just fills you with the emotion that these Western soundtracks give you. And I kept thinking to myself, gosh, I really want a violin concerto that sounds like this. I finally thought, you know, I'm going to put this on Facebook. And so I wrote on Facebook, I would be all over it if there was a Western-style, epic movie sound score kind of violin concerto. And once I hit enter, I thought, oh gosh, what have I done?
That's brave.
Because, you know, here is, I'm a classical musician. I have, you know, moved out from the West to the East Coast, and I'm this, you know, I'm going to love Schubert and Brahms and all these serious composers. And here I've just outed myself that I like movie music, and are my colleagues going to take me seriously? And as soon as I hit enter, I thought, all right, there goes my career. Serious violinist, you know. So within seconds, comments started rolling in from around the world, from pretty famous composers and conductors and soloists and agents, and everybody's like, that would be really cool. And so I thought, okay, I feel validated. And then finally, within an hour, 65 comments later and hundreds of likes, I thought, I want this. I'm going to do this. I know somebody. So I called George S. Clinton.
And he said he'll write you a concerto?
He said yes. George S. Clinton, for your listeners, is a film composer in Hollywood who has scored for Austin Powers, Wild Things, The Santa Claus, The Tooth Fairy, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, just a wide range of films. And he is a big fan of the same kind of film style that I am a fan of, which is the John Barry scores and the Marconi scores. And so he really lit up when I gave him that question, and he said yes. So
all the great violinists in history have commissioned or have had concertos written for them. You know, Beethoven, Brahms. They've all been written for someone, and you now have been the first person ever to ask for a violin concerto on a Western theme.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible, and it's such a fantastic idea, and it has gained so much momentum.
It has gained a lot of momentum, but I think it hits a lot of important things that our industry tends to overlook.
Like what?
Audience is basically included. This is kind of you roll your sleeves up and lean into this, because what George has done, since he's a film composer, is he has written a story. This is his story. I didn't ask him for a story. I just wanted that sound, you know, because it emotionally sets me on fire. But he needed a story to plug into. As a film composer, he's used to writing for stories. And what he has done on top of that is, before each movement, which we are calling scenes, because with film, there will be either a narrator or above the orchestra, kind of like a silent movie would have, a screen card. And the opening says, the desert has turned an eerie blue, Rose rides in to the jailhouse, subdues the guard, and sets Jed free. Together at last, their saddlebags full of gold, they ride off. And that's all the audience gets, but that's the first movement. Right. And you hear this epic film score, and you just can't help it. But imagine what does it look like, eerie blue in a desert? You know, are you seeing cactuses? Are you seeing a paint horse? Are you seeing cowboy boots? It's up to you. And so it's kind
so
of.
So I'm the director of my
you
own
are the
experience
director.
That
your
you've created.
Your image of Rose, your image of the whole sets, everything is yours.
Wow.
And the fun thing is, for the audience, is afterwards they get to compare notes and say, I thought I heard this. I thought that this happened, you know. And it's fun. And that's what we're filling that void with this concerto.
So it's not a concerto in five movements, it's a concerto in five scenes.
Essentially, yes.
That is so cool.
It's just more fun, isn't it?
And instead of the Italian that we'd have, you know, adagio molto or molto vivace or something, we have the actual, we're put right into the middle of your concerto and the action and well, who are you? What do you play?
Well, the
You're
violin...
You're not Jed, are you?
Oh, gosh, no. The violin is the voice of Rose.
Uh-huh.
And I think that there's a definite dialogue you can detect throughout each of the movement. There's the love music between Rose and Jed in the second movement, and the sheer terror, that the uncertainty of the ambush in the third movement.
Ambush.
And interestingly, in each of the musicians' parts, the description is in their parts, so they know too. So it gives George the ability to be almost a director, essentially, to give the musicians, here's your motivation, you know, here's what the scene's about, so you can act your part. So you'll play it more gregariously or play it more romantically.
That sounds so exciting. So you've had great momentum with it. You've performed it elsewhere since 2018?
It premiered in 2019.
19.
And since the premiere in that April, we have performed it 4 times.
Well, we are lucky to have you on any level. Now I realize how lucky we are. Goodness me. Well, it must be fate, all to do with the cow.
I think so.
The cowgirl, cowboy situation. But I'm like wanting to know who is going to direct the film version of this. Will there be a film version?
Everybody's talked about it. And wouldn't it be fun if Netflix would pick it up? But you know what's really ironic, and it comes so, we don't ask for this, but so many people have said, this should be a ballet.
Wow.
And George, ballet. when we keep hearing that from everybody, uh-huh. and it's just out of the blue. And right. I'm like, is there some kind of like secret poll out there? Because how are you coming up with this? I wouldn't have imagined it as a ballet. But interesting. But yes, it would make a fantastic movie.
So classical concerto meets Hollywood composer meets choreographed full-scale Western ballet. I mean, I like it all. I like it already.
I think when we broke the first rules of, you know, I would like to play a Western soundtrack kind of thing, that was the first rule we broke.
Wow.
You know, social rule that you just, that's not how we do things. So why not?
Well, this is so exciting. I'm so thrilled that you are here to share The Rose of Sonora with South Bend and our audiences. It's just fantastic. Thank you very much.
I'm excited too.